Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad that you tuned in today and that you're joining us from all different platforms. I know a lot of people listen, whether it's our podcast, through the app, on our YouTube family. Thank you so much for joining us. And by us, I mean Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. Hello.
Hi, ladies. Hello.
I'm so glad you guys are here. You know, we're looking at a new year with lots of different things, and you know, we've talked, I'm sure every one of us has heard about resolutions and I'm going to do this next year and this is how I'm going to change everything. But, you know, as we're thinking about our emotional freedom workshop coming up, one of our attendees from our last year said, I knew I had unresolved issues that seemed to control my life, which I thought was a kind of an interesting play on words, right? Mm-hmm. Unresolved as opposed to resolved. And I have tried so hard to resolve for so long. I felt a bit helpless, yet could not quit trying because I longed for freedom. I did not know they were unresolved emotional issues or that there exists a process for resolution. What a great way to start the new year by dealing with the unresolved issues. How do unresolved issues control our lives?
So many ways. Mm-hmm. I think the unresolved issue, one of the ways that unresolved issues control our lives is that it prevents us from moving forward in things because we're stuck in this unresolved issue and often don't even know that there's an issue. We just think it's our personality. That's just how I am. It's always been that way. And really, it's some habit that's been formed out of a need for safety. And sometimes it's generational, and it's just the way things are done in this family. And if it doesn't get resolved in this generation, it will be passed down to next generation. So I love the idea of thinking about resolving to address some of the things that may be preventing you from getting to where you want to be in the world.
Yeah, I love that. Alice?
Well, God gave us this fabulous internal design where we don't forget things easily that are not yet finished, that are not completed. And that's very helpful for our to-do lists and our tasks. It can become really burdensome when we're in an avoidance mode of tough emotional occurrences and events that have happened in our life. And so when we are overburdened with all that unfinished business, it colors our emotions, our mood, our tone of voice, and our reactivity to the things around us. And so it's like we're carrying this backpack full of everything we haven't yet completed and processed and resolved. And so it weighs us down. And emotional freedom starts to lift those things off bit by bit in a really safe, structured environment.
Absolutely.
I love that. And you know, one of the ways that that occurs is awareness, right? As you are talking about this, both of you, you know, I'm sure that there are those of us who are listening who are going, oh, I never thought about it that way. You know, that unfinished business, that the things that we can't let go of that are keeping us from moving forward. And, you know, the way that we design the workshop is we have teachers like yourself, Jackie Mack Harris, yes, and, you know, Chris Williams, Steve Arterburn. And we then go into groups where we can expand the thought process and think about, hey, has this ever been an issue for me, or is this an issue for me now? I just want to encourage you, listeners, if you are stuck somewhere, or maybe you aren't in the life that you know God has planned for you, emotional freedom could be the day that turns things around. And you can call us and get connected. And if you register by this Friday, you're going to save $120. How about that? And maybe, you know, it's because it's online, it's going to be the easiest way for you to connect. And it is just an amazing way to begin this new year. And so maybe that's your resolve that I'm going to call and register for emotional freedom. Or maybe you just want to resolve to call us today, 1-800-229-3000, and get started on that new year journey to having an emotionally free life. We're going to be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're so glad you joined us. And if you have something on your heart or something that you're struggling with in a family relationship, or, you know, maybe it's a work relationship, who knows? It could be an addiction. You can call us, 1-800-229-3000. We have lines open and we are ready to take calls. And we're going to start by talking with Wendy, who has called us from Calgary, Alberta, and watches us on our YouTube channel. And we're so glad you joined us. Wendy, how can we help you today?
Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I appreciate all the wisdom that you people share with everybody. So my problem is, okay, I met this woman at church about 5 years ago. She's 54 years old. I wrote it down here. I'm trying to read it. She came from a very dysfunctional life. Her parents gave her to her aunt when she was a toddler. She met a younger brother when she was 12. Turns out he was the neighbor boy across the street. She had no idea it was her brother. Oh. He's got bipolar disorder. She's had many men come in and out of her life. She believes the man who was her soulmate, he died in her arms 10 years ago of a heart attack. God took him from her, she said. She says Satan came to her as a little girl of 7 and said he wanted her. She's terrified of that even to this day. She was picked on in school by everybody. She's an alcoholic, but she says, I don't hurt anybody, so it's okay if I drink. God doesn't care. So I'm taking her for birthday lunch this afternoon, and I thought, I hope New Life is taping today, because every time I get together with her, it's the same thing. She's mad at God. We are in a restaurant. She starts yelling at me because I've got the perfect life, which, of course, I don't. But she says God has never given her anything. He's always taken everything from her. But then she'll say, Wendy, I love God. I love God, and I love Jesus Christ, but I'm so angry with him. And it's just the same thing over and over every time I see her. She just sits at home drinking all the time, listening to her heavy metal music. She's got only two other friends that see her when she has money for booze. And I just don't know what to do. I'm dreading going out with her for birthday lunch, but of course I'll go out and bless her and try and encourage her again and pull her up. But I know she'll be upset and yelling in the restaurant again today. Mm. And I just don't know what to do. She comes about every 6 weeks. She'll come. But
I'm sorry, Wendy, for that. Off. But you are blessing her for sure. But let's hear what Jackie and Alice May have to offer to make it the best birthday lunch that you can possibly give her.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, Wendy, thank you for calling, and thank you for being such a good, caring friend. It sounds as though you've gotten to know her story pretty well. It's hard for you to carry the weight of that whenever you're with her. She's bringing all those things up and out. And that is actually, I think, part of the blessing is that you're able to be a listening ear for her. One of the things I think we struggle with sometimes is taking on people's burden. So I'm wondering if this is so hard for you because you begin to take on some of the sense of responsibility for some of these issues.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fixer.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm definitely a fixer. Yeah. I'm a helper.
Yeah. And you're helping just by spending the time with her. I wonder if it would be different for you if you could spend this time with her and just hear it, validate it, and not try to maybe give advice or explain or negotiate, you know, the problem. If she's angry with God, just, you know, you've had a really hard life, you've experienced some hard things, it's understandable. God understands. What would it be like for you to not necessarily engage it in a problem-solving mode, but more just being present and kind of being the container for her?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just...
I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, because it's just... That's the conversation. She just yells at me, and it's almost like, give me an answer, Wendy. What should I do? Like, what can I do?
And I
try and tell her, like, there's places in the city she can get involved in, like a ladies' Bible study, and they have a sense of belonging, because I belong nowhere.
Yeah.
well, you could belong to the church, you could come more often, and people want to pull her in, but, you know, she just can't connect, it seems like, with people that aren't drinking.
Wendy, we have a phrase we use, a help rejecting complainer. And it's a phase people can be in, and they can choose to stay in it, where they want to talk about their problems. They want to be heard, but they don't want to be helped. And they're choosing perhaps the familiar misery that they know, and probably because of fear of the unknown. At least she knows this, and it's comfortable to be where she is. At least it seems comfortable. So, yeah, what I hear you. That fits. I want to make sure I heard something correctly. Do you see her every 6 weeks? Do you take her out for a meal?
No, I don't. Before COVID, I saw her much more, but with COVID, like, we couldn't see each other. And so now I'm seeing her about probably once every 2 months, so probably every 8 weeks.
And do you usually dread meeting with her? Most visits, do you dread meeting with her?
Yes, I do.
So I want to check on that.
It turns into the same thing every time.
I want to check on that dread with you, Wendy. I think that she is verbally abusive to you publicly.
Oh, yes, I could tell you stories.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there was a time I took her 2 years ago for her birthday. I pulled over to the side of the road, and I said, if you don't stop that, I'm taking you home right now. Because she was angry because we wouldn't take her to the restaurant she wanted to go to. And my friend was the one paying. And I said, Chris is our friend, and she has chosen to take you here. And she said, well, some friend you are. You won't even let me pick the restaurant. Like, what kind of a friend is that? She wanted to go to a certain restaurant because it was next to the liquor store. That's the only reason she wanted to go to that restaurant.
What do you guys think, Alice?
I'm not listening to this.
Wendy,
hold on. I want to ask Alice and Jackie a question. What I'm wondering about is her mental state is obviously impaired. And I wonder if the switch needs to be, Wendy, you've got to look at this in a different way. So instead of taking her somewhere, maybe you bring lunch to her and, you know, you switch it up. Because if you've been doing this for a while, it could literally be triggering her to do the same thing over and over again, because that's the design of your relationship with each other. You go out to lunch, she gets agitated, she starts yelling, and it would be different if this had only happened one time, but you just relayed a repeated pattern. I don't know. Jackie, Alice, do you think I'm thinking in the right way? Or
I agree with you. It does feel like both of them are stuck in a pattern. This is what we do. This is the dance we do. And it needs to be shaken up.
Wendy, I actually think your tolerance level is too high for her mistreatment, and I suspect there's been other people in your history who probably have mistreated you, and maybe it was something you couldn't escape from, like in childhood. And so there's an ability that you have to sustain and to persevere, but it might be too much for your heart and soul, and it can lead to this enabling that we're talking about, that this woman almost has permission to continue to mistreat you, and she'll be invited out again. And your motivation is generosity and love, and it's a very good motivation. But when we feel dread, it's our internal warning system saying, I'm overexposed to this person's mistreatment of me. And so it may be time to, as Becky's describing, to reconfigure how you engage with her and probably to limit it more than you have. How does that affect you to consider actually pulling back from her if she keeps mistreating you and is unwilling to look at it or to behave differently?
Well, it makes me want to cry, because what kind of a Christian am I then if I'm not there for her? Because nobody else is there for her.
Wendy, sometimes the absence of a good person is more motivating for someone to reconsider their alcoholism and reconsider their behavior. The Bible actually tells us to step back from unrepentant people who mistreat us, because in the stepping back, we're changing that dynamic, and it can shake up a person's bad behavior, unhealthy behavior, in a way that our continued presence doesn't do.
And Wendy, your Christianity is not tied to you being in this abusive relationship. Your Christianity is tied to your belief in Jesus Christ, that alone, that salvation.
True.
All the behaviors you do, all the ways in which you love people and bless people, I think of that for myself as my thank yous. Like, I am just so grateful for all God has done for me, and he made me a caregiver, and so I give back. But you don't lose anything in terms of your faith by not allowing someone to mistreat you.
I wonder, too, I don't know what you guys think about this, but maybe when do you attend a speaker meeting with her, go to an AA meeting with her, maybe get her focused on something that is life-giving. She needs to have a plan for her own healing process. And I think that that's the challenge when we feel like we're being un-Christian or unloving because we're not putting up with bad behavior, like what Alice is talking about. We're actually, you know, we need to look at, okay, how can I help? You said you're a fixer. Well, Wendy, maybe this is, you know, you guys start going to an AA meeting together or, you know, get connected in some way. But I just, you know, you are blessing her, but you're also harming you at the same time.
And Wendy, that sense of dread that you have, I agree with Alice. I wonder if you've learned to ignore the sign that says this is unsafe, because you've experienced it so much and for so long. And so while you're loving on this woman and being this wonderful friend and caring for her, what's happening to the young parts of you or the parts of you that are having to hold back and tolerate this abusive behavior? She's embarrassing you. She's saying things that aren't true about you. She's not taking the advice at all. I agree with Becky, too, about going to a meeting, but I don't know that she would do that. Doesn't sound like she'd be willing to go to a meeting with you, and you bringing it up at dinner might, you know, cause her to go off.
Don't
so,
do that.
What do you think, one, about making a change in the way you hang out with her, and two, about this idea of you kind of overriding your own safety mechanisms?
I guess I could try that. I could try. And, you know, the thing is, when she does that, she will call me later and apologize. You know?
Yeah. She's got some
and
level
I tell
of
her, apology
awareness.
Is, and I tell her, sometimes, Shelley, apology is not enough. Like, you hurt me so bad at the time. Like, you can't just keep, because she has phoned me before and said, we're done. We're never friends again. What kind of a Christian you are? Like, we're never going to be friends again. Like, da-da-da. And I go, okay, I'm okay with that. Okay, goodbye. It was nice knowing you. And then a week later, she'll call me back and say,
and you'll answer.
I didn't mean it.
She'll call you back a week later, and you'll answer, and you'll take her back, and she'll continue to behave in the same way. And apologies have so little value when it's just another abuse, another way of being abusive, right? She's gaslighting you. You're a terrible person because you won't tolerate her abuse. That's unnecessary for your Christian walk. That's not a part of your faith.
What book would you recommend for Wendy? I have an idea, but I would like to hear what you guys have.
Take Your Life Back is
That's the thing that comes up
for me. Take Your Life
Back. Wendy, we'll send that your way. And, you know, if you'll stay connected, I think it also would help for you to be in a life recovery group. We do them online, and, you know, you can work on that fixer thing, you know, so that you can feel comfortable in saying no and being fully there. I love what you guys are talking about, how we shut down those defense signals that are coming up. And I think there's so many people that do that, that it can be such an impairment in our relationships.
There's also a broken perspective in Christianity, and I certainly experienced this in my family of origin, that if the more we're suffering when we're doing something good, the more valuable our service is. But God flips that on its head and says, well, check your heart and check your motives. If you can't do this freely, if you can't do this somewhat cheerfully and without obligation, then that's a clanging gong. It's like it doesn't count. And so checking our heart posture, if we're miserable doing something good, and especially if we're dreading it, we're resisting it. That's not healthy giving, and it's not the kind of giving God wants us to do.
I agree. Well, you know, I just think that we hear so many times where people have those kind of destructive relationships, thinking that I can't say no, I can't put up a boundary, because then Jesus won't love me anymore. And I think you both did a great job of just explaining that that is not true. And that's part of the work that we have to do in our relationships. I'm so glad you called, Wendy. I know there's a lot of folks out there that have similar situations, and we're here for you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to go to Fred after this break. And but, you know, I just think in this thought process of a new year, And, you know, these relationships that are a struggle for us, we can take one step forward. And it might be just to shake it up a bit. But when there's been a pattern involved, we have to do what we can to disrupt that pattern. And it's possible. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm excited about Steve's new book that he wrote with Marcus Brotherton, Every Believer's Thought Life, and it provides the plan to defeat destructive mental patterns and gain victory over distractions and temptations, which is what we are all about. We want to have that great mind and great thought process, great thought life, and it's our gift to you in January with any gift to the ministry. And we just, you know, want to say thank you. We appreciate all the help we can get to continue the work that we're doing here. We're going to go to Fred. He's calling us from Los Angeles and listens on SiriusXM. Hi, Fred. Thanks so much for calling.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, but I do have a couple of concerns. We contacted in life. My wife is seeking therapy. We were connected with a New Life therapist, but for some reason she will not follow through.
Has she gone, has she made an appointment at all and seen the therapist at all?
Yes. Well, it was teletherapy, and the therapist contacted her, and when the therapist contacted her, she's always too busy or, you know, redirects. And the therapist is like, okay, well, just call me when you're ready. And, you know, she's a bully. You know, she's so wrapped up. She self-diagnosed herself with OCD, which I'm in sociological education, and she does show significant signs of obsessive-compulsive, and she has very definitive control issues, but which ties into the OCD. But yeah, she's a bully.
So she saw the therapist, but she hasn't followed up and seen her again.
Well, no, she never actually had a conversation. She just set the appointment. The therapist called her, and she says, oh, I can't talk right now. Whether it was the atmosphere of the room or just, you know, she just won't follow through. And we actually...
Fred, what brought her that close to therapy? Was it by your request?
No, it's of her own volition. She decides to, you know, I need help. There's no one I can talk to. We're in ministry. I'm actually a pastor, and she has issues. You know, there's just levels of dissatisfaction. Our lifestyle, you know, we have two dependent adult disabled children, blended. One, my daughter, her son, and yet she's just not happy with what I say where God has us. You know, we're economically sound. There's no reason, but, you know, she has some issues from her childhood that she's considered to be unresolved. I like that statement that was earlier explained.
And Fred, as you say, she's a bully. Would you give us an example of how that plays out amongst the family?
Well, she's only a bully to me. She, you know, she says our marriage is like a roommate situation, but it's really not. It's like you're disconnected. I'm not disconnected. I am fully and fledgingly engaged to you, your femininity, your skill sets, the way you want to manage the household. And sometimes I was told that, well, you know, you've given her too much power, which is why she's a bully.
And Fred, what has been your experience with couples therapy with her?
Well, we went to a therapist, a physical therapist, sit-in meeting, and as we begin to talk, the therapist says, well, I'd like to focus on her. And she got mad about that. She's like, oh, you always present yourself to be so perfect. And I'm like, I'm not perfect. Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm very good at compartmentalizing. You know, I've overcome a lot of my own issues that I thought I had. And, you know, I believe the Word of God. I believe it so intensely that although I'm in social services, I see the need for therapy for some, and I know it's very helpful.
And Fred, when the therapist turned the attention on your wife, did she then retreat from that session of couples therapy, that episode?
Well, we only went the one time, and after, it was like,
because
I don't
she,
like her.
Because, so she refused to go again after that?
To that particular
okay.
person.
And would you give us your question? Give us your question, Fred, so we can consider it over the break.
Well, how do I? Well, the question is, how do I get her to follow through? Simply, just what mechanisms or
well, we will we'll
garner.
We will consider your question over the break, Fred, and then we'll come back. We still have lines open too. Callers can call in at 1-800-229-3000, and perhaps you have a struggle just like what Fred's talking about. And you know that a lot of times in relationships, it can be so hard to get on the same page. And even especially if there's a lot of stress in the household, and you know, it is something that we can help get moving in the right direction, but you have to call 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Yes, indeed. We are still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for another hour and a half, and we can offer you help. Right now, we are going to help Fred. And Fred, the question you have is, how do you help get your wife to get the help that she needs or that she has sought? So let's start with Jackie. And Jackie, what would you offer Fred in this situation?
So Fred, the first thing that I want to offer you is something I learned in marriage and family therapy school. The problem's not a problem unless the person with the problem believes it's a problem. So you don't get her to go get therapy. You can't. There's no way you can convince her to do something with her body. I tell my clients often, if you want to have peace, you have to release people from the prison of your expectations and don't allow anyone to imprison you in theirs. So your expectation for her to get therapy doesn't help her much. The other thought that I was having when you said she feels like you all are just roommates, and you're like, no, we're fine. I see you. I am connected with you. I'm connected with your femininity. But all the statements you were making were talking about your perspective. And if you and your wife stood up in a room together facing each other and were asked to describe that room, you would describe it differently because you would have different vantage points. Your vantage point isn't her vantage point. where you feel connected, she feels disconnected. You are really good at compartmentalizing. And so you're even keel. Nothing bothers you. Nothing flusters you. Everybody sees you. You're chill. You're a great guy. You're a pastor. And then she comes home and she does not feel you. She's not feeling the same connection to you you're feeling to her. That's not all on you. She's got work of her own to do, but she's got to come to a place where she wants to do that work. So in the meantime, you can be modeling for her by being in your own therapy. As a pastor, my husband's a pastor, and I have lots of pastor friends, and I'm concerned about them so often. There's a huge burden that they carry. There's a lot of weight on pastors, and they don't often have great self-care because they're good. They trust God. They don't, you know, so they're not necessarily modeling for people that therapy is an appropriate avenue for seeking out healing. And we have Christian counselors, and you know that process, so maybe you could get into therapy for yourself and just to be someplace where you can process the life of ministry, the struggles of having adult developmentally disabled children. There are things going on, and if she could see you leading out that way, that might make a difference. And also, I thought it'd be great for you to have an event at your church. Where I go to churches and do trainings all the time, and I go and I talk about marriage, I talk about parenting, I talk about all kinds of different things with the church members, the church body. You could provide something like that for your congregation and therefore your wife.
That's good. Alice, what would you offer Fred?
Fred, you pastors have such an impossible pressure to be perfect, and you strive to. I hear it in your voice, how much you try to live your life aligned with God's will, and your congregation needs that from you, and your family needs that from you. And I think it would really soothe your wife if she could hear more about your imperfections and your struggles and your mistakes and your failures. That would draw her in closer to you if your soft underbelly were revealed to her more frequently. And I see it as an in sometimes for therapy for a family when one person is so resistant. But when somebody like you, Fred, has the humility to say, hey, I've been an imperfect husband, and we've got a problem here that I've not been able to solve. You feel so disconnected from me. It's got to have something to do with me. So even if you're not willing to go yet to therapy, I'm going to go to try to figure out, how can I become a better husband to you? Because something's missing here. And sometimes that lowers the defensiveness of a resistant spouse. And when she really sees you invest in it and admit to some of your shortcomings, it might draw her in closer to you.
I love that.
That's
all right.
Beautiful.
Go ahead, Jackie.
In anything in a system changes, it impacts the entire system. So by you doing this work, it will influence the rest of your household.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, Fred, you guys are so close to us that you could join us at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop that's going to be in February in Orange County. And if you hold the line, we'll give you some information about that. And we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, which is kind of the basis for what we do at the workshop. Thank you so much for calling. I am going to say welcome, Larry Sonnenberg. We're so glad to see you and joining us in the studio. Okay. How are you today, Larry? And what do you got for us?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you. We've had a lot of people step up and make year-end gifts. We're still receiving them in the mail. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who has expressed their gratitude to God in this ministry by sending a financial gift and support. It's very, very meaningful, helps a lot of people. You know, people experience redemption, restored relationships, freedom that's been missing from their lives. And a renewed or first-time relationship with Christ. And that's why we're here. That's what we love to do. So thank you for supporting that. That's first and most that I wanted to say. The second thing is I want to remind Club New Life people. If you haven't heard, we're going to have a Club New Life gathering online via Zoom on January the 12th. It's Thursday next week. And Steve's going to give a talk. He's going to talk about toxic tribal affinity. And if you're curious and want to know what that is, this is a good chance for you to hear it. And you could ask questions. We want to hear from you. We want to hear how New Life has played a part in who you are and what God has done in your life. We want to answer questions you might have, and we just want to get a little closer to you. That's part of the reason we're doing all this. And then lastly, I got a testimony. This is Every Man's Battle week, this Friday, Washington, D.C. And this I love this testimony. We heard from a counselor in our network, and she said she got a call from a former client. Prior to seeing her years ago, she'd seen her newlywed daughter and husband, who were having severe marital problems. She had several sessions with the couple, but they left therapy somewhat abruptly. After identified the husband's sexual addiction, told him he needed to attend Every Man's Battle. I didn't see much hope for them. The wife's mother called me today for a different reason, but she mentioned in passing, "Oh, by the way, you saved their marriage." I asked for clarification. She said her son-in-law could not handle my advice at the time, but he did end up attending Every Man's Battle, and it changed his life. He's been in individual counseling since then with regular accountability. Their marriage has thrived, and they have had a child. Her mother gratefully shared, "I just got back from my granddaughter's birthday party."
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, thank you to the counselors that share openly and honestly and give truth, even though it hurts somebody and they walk away. But he came back. It's changed his life, the trajectory of their whole family. And so I want you guys who are listening, and you wives who are listening that know your husband needs this, get on the phone and call us, 800-NEW-LIFE. We can help you. We can. I would love to talk to any man that says he doesn't need it or doesn't want to go, or any wife that doesn't know how to approach this. Just give us a call. Our counselors, our phone, they're not counselors, our ministry service representatives, they're equipped to answer those questions and to help you. So we want to see your husbands there. We want to see you there, guys. It will make a difference. So thank you for all that. What do you want to add to that, Becky?
Well, thank you, Larry. And I think, you know, we've been talking this show all about those resolves. You know, I'm going to resolve to make a difference. I'm going to change this up. And so for those couples who are struggling with this, or if you are a man who knows that you're not living in the way that God had created you to live, that pornography has kind of sunk its hook into you, I think maybe just making a phone call could be the easiest, hardest next step that you could take. And, you know, it doesn't take a big leap. It just literally is one little thing. And, you know, we want to help you along this way. And we've heard so many testimonies over the years about what a dramatic shift in so many men's lives, literally thousands. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this a long time, thousands of men, which I always think, and I'm not a good mathematician. I don't know about you. Well, Larry's a good mathematician, but I'm not. But you just think about the multiplication about the families and the sons and the daughters and the in-laws and the outlaws and all of the ways that God has worked through the ministry to free the captives, literally. Just finding that new life and that new perspective. And we want to help you. And we have workshops. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Every Man's Battle, this is our 23rd year. I mean, that's a lot of guys. Every month
it is
for
a lot
23
of
years.
Yeah, and then thinking of the ripple effect of that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing. So, it's amazing.
And it's your giving folks that help us keep it going. We can't
that's
do it
right.
without you. So just can't say thank you enough. I hope you never tire of our expression of gratitude, because it's real.
That's right. You are changing people's lives, and we're so grateful. We're going to continue to try and change some people's lives. We're going to take calls. We got lines open, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to Janet after the break, and we look forward to hearing from you as well. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And I just want to encourage you that if you have something on in your heart and your mind, you can give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. We've got lines open, and we're going to take calls for the next hour. And if you're on, just hold on, because we're going to get to your call. But we're so grateful that you did call. And right now, we're going to go and talk with Janet, who's calling us from Davenport, Florida. Listens on WTLN. Thanks for calling, Janet. How can we help you today?
Hi, how are you? God bless you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just going, I'm not sure if it's a question, but I want to, my marriage is almost about to end after 19 years, just because my husband, since I met him, he was very private. His pet peeve is not to go over his phone, and I actually kind of accepted it since we were, you know, dating. And now we have twin boys, 12-year-olds, and I think there was always a disconnect because the trust wasn't there. Every time I approached him with the conversation about, you know, being open, he screams and yells, and to the point now that it's been 19 years, and I don't have, I'm like a switch, I can't switch on and off, and our intimate relationship has been nothing. And I have addressed the issue to him that emotionally he's a cold person, doesn't hug, doesn't kiss, doesn't, there's no emotion at all. So at the point now that, you know, we had, as a matter of fact, a blowout today, and I think I actually couldn't hold it, and I kind of told him how I felt, and he didn't try to defend himself at all, and he prefers to end it instead of trying to fix it, especially now that I'm a Christian, a newborn believer. It bothers him now even more that, you know, I go to church, I praise my God, and there's a lot of things that he is not too happy with. So I think we've come to a point that it's one of those things where I told him, let's just keep it simple. You know, the kids don't deserve too fast to split up now.
Well, Janet,
he's waiting till he just. Yes.
So, Janet, we're getting close to the end of the program, and I want to give Jackie and Alice some time to answer. What is your question? How can we help you the best?
My question is it normal for a husband to keep his phone from the wife? Is it normal for a man to say, you know, that's I pay the bills, I pay everything, and you shouldn't worry about what I do?
Well, normal is a setting on the dryer, but let's hear what Alice and Jackie have to offer about that decision on his part.
Janet, I think it certainly happens frequently, but it's a sign of something. It's his unwillingness to let you in on that part of his life, and that's not healthy for a marriage, and a marriage can't be sustained in that way, and you've been experiencing that. And of course, it leads us to believe, what does he not want you to see? What is he potentially hiding, and does he struggle with pornography or with infidelity at some level? What is your answer to that question? I'm sure you've asked yourself that.
Yes, I have, and that's the only thing I could think about because trust goes beyond just the phone. If there's no trust, then for me, there's emotionally everything, the word of every, the sense of the word, I'm numb, because I believe that you're hiding something, and I'm not going to argue. If you are, you are. But I think I'm 19 years. I think if he's willing to throw it all away and tell me, oh, you know what, let's just end this, and, you know, I'll go with half, whatever. That shows me even more that he's not willing. He's done, and you know, I think I tried, and I stood around for 19 years, and he believes that's normal.
Janet, I'm perhaps going to surprise you by saying I don't want you to give up yet, even if he's talking about giving up, because if you have not yet attempted to try therapy, invite him into therapy, set up some boundaries, make some requirements, then you haven't yet used all the tools God provides for us to attempt to save a marriage. And because you have 12-year-old twin boys, it is still worth fighting for. Even if you have very little hope that the fight will be victorious, there are still techniques to try that might bring about change. So if you haven't been to Restore our weekend, or if you haven't yet asked your husband and required him to attend every man's battle, or intimacy in marriage. Those are worthy attempts to make for the sake of your boys and for the sake of your family.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jackie, do you have anything for her?
I would agree with Alice about not giving up for yourself at this point. Is it normal for a husband to keep his phone away from his wife? I don't know that that's normal, but as Alice said, it's common. Lots of couples don't have a situation where they're looking in each other's phones, but it's because the other partner isn't asking to look in the phone. So I'm curious about why you feel the need to check the phone, and you're listening to some instinct inside of you saying something's off. And I wonder if you've done any work for yourself. Are you in therapy? And if you would consider maybe doing that work for yourself, because whether you're with him or not, you still have you to contend with. And so wherever you go, there you are, right? So you do the work. Whether he stays or goes, you won't be able to control that, but you can start to work on yourself, which therefore will be working on the relationship to see if you can figure out why there's been such a lack of trust on your end, unless he's given you reason to mistrust him. But it sounds like from the beginning, there's been some distance.
I'll make it quick. I know there's other quote as well. First of all, I've tried asking him to go to therapy. He doesn't want to. And another thing is, I'm not that person to get his phone. I don't do that. But just the hiding. Never see the phone. The phone never rings. He hides it at nighttime. I never see the phone. And not only that, he never gave me emotional, physically, and I think it has led up to 19 years of just coldness to the point that I can't turn it back on.
So when you said he's not giving you emotional intimacy, so you're saying the hugs, the kisses. What about sexual intimacy? No. Are you all not sexually intimate?
No.
Janet, we're almost to the end of the program. I think what you said was so on target. You have to do a lot of work, Janet, before you call it quits. There's nothing simple about a divorce. And what I think, Jackie, you were just saying, there has been a divide in this relationship for many years. And Janet, sometimes we get in relationships with people who are avoidant, and we're avoidant. So you get two avoidant people, and then all of a sudden it's not working anymore. Where if you can do some healing work to understand, okay, how do I ask for what I need? And how do I even know what I need? You know what you don't want. But I think that could be a step in the right direction. Jackie or Alice, you got any last words for
Janet,
her?
You might phrase it with humility of, hey, I'm not ready to give up on our marriage. I care about you. I care about our boys. And maybe I need to do some work on myself. Perhaps I've been avoidant. I haven't known how to talk with you about all of this. So I want to do some work on myself. Are you willing to see what comes of that? Can we wait and see what happens?
I love that. And we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, which I think will give you some direction in that way. And stay on the line, Janet. We'll give you some information about intimacy and marriage. Who knows? You know, we are always surprised by the folks who say, you know, we were going to be done with this relationship, and then they go to intimacy and marriage and everything changes because they get a different perspective about what they've been dealing with for so many years. And we would love to see you guys there. We'd love to see any of you who are married who would like a better marriage. Maybe this is the year. We're so glad that you guys were on with us today. Jackie and Alice are so wise, and we are going to continue to take calls for the next hour. 1-800-229-3000. If you're on the line, hold on, because we'll be right with you. And we're just so grateful to be able to offer hope and help in life's hardest places. We're glad you joined us today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app.
Visit newlife.com to download the app today.